Romans 15.
We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, To whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen.
Praise the Lord, brothers. This is Deacon Thomas Farr on this Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to thank you all for joining me, taking the opportunity, taking time to listen in to our newest episode. If you received it on your text, and if you're watching it online at www. listening to it online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. We thank you for that. And moving forward, I want to encourage you to be able to share with the brothers in your circle of influence, in your men's group, your Bible study group, just share some of the episodes, some of our discussions. I believe they will be a blessing to the brothers and to encourage and strengthen in this Christian walk. Amen. You also can find a link on Facebook at IssuesChristianMens.com Facebook page. Episodes are there. Also, you can follow along with us there and share them there on the Facebook too. Amen. Well, first, let me say this. We are recording this. We're live and recording it, and it is the 1st of June. So we have 14. Wait a minute. When is Father's Day? Father's Day falls on the, let me look at the numbers here. Let me count this up. All right. So Father's Day falls on the 18th. So we have exactly 16 days to celebrate the brothers. We could celebrate them all month. We could, but Sunday, the 18th of June, is Father's Day. Pastors, elders, leaders, let's do something. Let's lift up men. Let's encourage men. Let's give a word of encouragement on that Sunday through word, through celebration, buy a cake, buy some balloons. You know, let's pump this thing up a little bit here. Because as fathers, you know, it's every man. I'll put it this way. Something we always say, it's a Christian. So we have more in common than we are different. And fatherhood is one of the things that we all have in common, that responsibility and that experience. Even we are fathers, have been fathers, our grandparents, and even for our young men in the body of Christ, they have to see fatherhood to be prepared for it, because it's a whole different thing. I used to say all the time, you know, if I knew father was going to be like this, I just might not have chose to be one. Amen? But in the midst of it, because we also know the challenges. We know how brothers that, you know, the fatherhood is not, it's a struggle for some men, and some men just, the burden of it, it's broke, wore them down. So, because we still have to deal with fatherlessness, but we also know that there's an opportunity for every man, especially men of God, to step in and fill the void, fill the gap. Even also to minister to the father who might be struggling, but also to be a spiritual covering for the father, the homeless. I mean, the Bible says that true religion is watching out for widows and orphans, and a man and a young and a child without a father. You know, we don't use that term as orphans in this 21st century, but if we consider it, that's exactly what's going on. A child without a father, without a male role model, a positive male role model in their life, is can struggle and be lacking. Amen. So in saying that, brothers, we want to encourage fathers. We want to reach out, and we want to continue to let God use us in the circumstances we find ourselves in. Because trust me, it's not hard to be able to find a place where a man is needed to speak up and to stand in the gap. Let me say it like that. Amen. Amen. But anyway, Father's Day is coming. Get ready. Amen. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get right into the conversation. We're going to be talking about Romans, being a Romans 15 man. We're going to focus in on unity. We're going to be focusing on verses 5 and 6 tonight. My brothers, I see you on the switchboard. I see you here. We're going to bring you in. Press one of your keypad. We're ready to come into the conversation. And we're going to go with Romans 15, focusing on the unity of the body. Verses 5 and 6, because what we're talking about is being a Romans 15 man and who we are to be. And then, you know, and it starts with, are we living up and applying the word of God? Because it says that just to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And then as I was studying and looking, I was, you know, the Holy Spirit led me to Romans 15. I was reading something else, and then I read this. And I thought about it. What kind of man do we want to be? So this is what we're going to deep dive in. I got some of the brothers here, and they're going to share their insights and wisdom, and hopefully someone will be encouraged and blessed by it. And we can stir up the body of Christ, the men of God, to now how we live in, to examine ourselves and where we are when it comes to the word of God. Because, again, we don't compare ourselves to each other. We compare ourselves to the word of God and how we're living in obedience to his word. And are we being submissive to the Holy Spirit living within us and living obedient to his word? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I say thank you right now, Lord God. I thank you for every brother on the line. I thank you, God, for those who will be listening to this, listen to it live, listen to the rebroadcast, and listen to the link, that would hear something that would encourage your brother. Father, we pray for a man, oh God, who's struggling, God, who's struggling spiritually, emotionally, financially, and spiritually and physically. We pray for healing, God. We pray for your Holy Spirit to guide and direct them, Lord God. We pray for husbands, fathers, and sons, Lord God, that men will stand in those places and in those spaces and be who you called them to be and bring order to the chaos, Lord God. As men of God, we can bring order to the chaos in the midst of the chaos. Father, I pray for the brother who's struggling with his trials and temptations, Lord God, with his frustrations, the burdens of life, Lord God. We're praying, God, today will be a day of salvation, be a day of deliverance, oh God. So, Father, we say again, thank you. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who through his death, burial, and resurrection has redeemed us unto you, oh God, that we, oh God, now live lives that will glorify unto you, oh God. So, Father, we say thank you. We ask you continue, oh God, to touch the lives of my brothers, myself, my children, my grandchildren, those that we're connected with by spirit and by blood, Lord God. And, Father, we pray for the persecuted church all over the world, those who are suffering just because of the name of Jesus. We pray that, God, you would meet their need in their circumstances, that you would give them the boldness and the calmness to stand on your word, oh God. Father, we pray for the leaders in government, God. We pray for pastors, elders, and those who minister behind the scenes, oh God, as they shepherd the flocks, the local congregation, and shepherd your people. So, Father, we just say thank you. We give you all honor and glory in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. All right, brothers. Well, we're going to get right into the conversation. I'm going to save my commercial breaks for later on down the road because we got our summer reading list. If you are a member, if you have been listening to our episodes, we put together a summer reading list, and we want to encourage the brothers to spend some time in the Word to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So we're going to start tonight in discussion in Romans chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. And the two reframes, we're going to go, well, let me do this. I'm going to give a quick review because we were doing Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 13. So in the first part of it, verses 1 and 3, it was talking about the brotherhood ministering to the weak. A strong church is who the strong will be able to bear the weaknesses of the weak, that we are looking out with on them. We as those who are strong in the faith and mature in the faith are bearing the weakness of the weak. So we're coming together, we're supporting each other, we're supporting one another, we're supporting our brother who may be struggling, not even necessarily struggling, just new to the faith. And we have patience as we all grow, and as they grow, we have patience with them. And we're not arrogant about who we are, because we have understanding, but then they are coming alongside. Amen? So we're going to, that's verses 1 through 3. We talked about that. And then the next one was verse number 5. We landed in the last episode. We talked a little bit about verse number 4 when it talked about the study of the scripture, because strong church, everyone studies the scripture. So I say that again. A strong church, a strong ministry, where everyone is in the Word and studying the Word, and we encourage each other into the Word. That's one of the things I talked about when I did the summer reading list. I always encourage the brothers out there to have a good study Bible, to have a concordance, to have a Vines dictionary. These are the reference materials that can help you in your understanding and growth in the knowledge of God through His Word, because we're going to grow through the Word and through the Holy Spirit living within us. So that was verse number 4. We talked about studying. We may backtrack on some of these with some of the brothers if they have something they want to share about that. But again, that was verses 1 through 3 with the brotherhood, the weak, the strong bearing the weak. Verse number 4, the study of Scripture and the importance of Scripture in the lives of the believer. That what Scripture does, it gives us instruction, direction, and guidance. And it's for our learning, to be more like Christ. Amen. And the three things that we talked about with Scripture was patience, The scripture gives us patience, the scripture gives us comfort, and the scripture gives us hope. Amen? Amen. So what we're going to do tonight, we're focusing in the conversation. We're going to go with verses 5 and 6, unity. We're a church, a strong church, a men's ministry, a gathering, a family. Everyone working in harmony where we have unity, we can accomplish more together than we can apart. And we have to be of one mind. And that's one of the things, especially in the body of Christ, and like I always say, but besides being a pastor of the church, leading men's ministry, it's a challenge. But we want to strive to be of one mind, that as believers in God, we're one mind and one purpose, and we're building the relationship that brings unity to the body. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Larry Watkins, sir. Good evening. How are you, sir?
Good evening, Deacon. How are you? I'm doing well. Thank you, sir.
Amen. And Elder Mark, I see you on the line. How you doing there, brother?
Yes, sir. I'm blessed, my brother. Good evening to you both. Good evening to you both. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Amen. 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 And we have one more person that wants to join the conversation. Your last four numbers are 8086. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Hey, good evening, my brothers. How are you? This is Anthony.
Hey, brother.
Okay, you know what? That brother, I'm not going to say nothing about this phone number, but okay, I'm going to write it down. Brother Anthony. Okay, we'll talk offline. Amen, amen. All right, well, I'm coming to you, Pastor Larry. We're going to start off with you. We're going to go around the table here. We're talking about unity in the body of Christ, as it talks about in, again, Romans 15, verses 5 and 6. What do you say, sir? And how important is that? That's a thing that we need to be as men of God. Are we in pursuit of unity within the brother? What do you say, sir?
One of the unfortunate things about the body of Christ is that although we should be, we are not the most unified body that there is. The reason being is because of semantics and what we believe and what we read. Scripture says that we should be like-minded towards one another. Well, what is that mind that we should have? We should have the mind of Christ, which is based on what the scripture tells us we should be doing. These are the things that we learn from our Bible study and the things that give us comfort, hope, and patience. And these are the things that we should have common ground on. And many of times we find that we don't have that common ground because one person believes in this and another person believes in that, and everybody has a different interpretation about what God is saying in the scripture. But for us to be like-minded, if we have the mind of Christ, then there should be some common ground. There should be some things that we can say are foundational thoughts or foundational things that we believe in that should permeate everyone that calls themselves to be a Christian or to be like Christ. These are the things that we should have like-minded. We should believe that God is love and that we should love everybody. We believe that God is the only God and we should serve him. We should believe that Jesus Christ was crucified and raised and now sits at the right hand of the Father. These are things that are common ground that we should come together on. And this should be the unity that binds us together as Christians because we have this common ground that we can all agree on, we can all accept, and we can all stand on this foundation. Unfortunately, that is not always the case because some people want to make things, you know, difficult because they want to nitpick at little scriptures, you know, should we baptize in the name of Jesus or should we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? Or should we baptize with sprinkling? Or should they be immersed? Or should they be whatever? You know, all of these little things are the things that divide us. Rather than concentrating on the little things, we should be concentrating on the common ground that brings us together, that mind of Christ that makes us like Christ, that makes us love everybody, that makes us compassionate towards our brother, that makes us want to come together and help each other, the thing that makes us want to lift our brother up, the things that want to make sure that we see people healed and delivered and set free. All of these things should be foundational that brings us together rather than the little semantic things that break us apart. This is what it means to be like-minded, and this is the thing that we need to be unified. We as brothers should be unified in the fact that we are more alike than we are different. And this should bring us together because it means that our struggles are the same, our pains are the same, our hurts are the same. We may think that they're different, but the way we go through them may be different, but the things that we deal with can be the same. And this is the same foundation that we need to have as Christians to be like-minded. What do you think, Dee?
Amen, sir. I agree. Elder Mark, I'm going to come to you next. You know, but the one thing I wanted to throw in there, this is when we talk about fellowship. You know, we sometimes, this is my thing. I always think about this, that in this 21st century Western church, we always connect fellowship with food, but we have to connect fellowship with being transparent with one another and being engaged and connected into each other's life, that we can support and encourage one another, that we can, again, we can encourage, challenge, hold each other accountable, and support one another. We need to change that definition of what fellowship means. It's just not sitting around and having a meal. It's about being part of each other's life. Elder Mark, what do you say when we talk about unity and how, as men, this is again, we have to be hearers of the word, doers of the word, just not hearers. Elder Mark, what do you say? Uh-oh, did I got you? Did I lose you? Hold on.
Oh, sorry about that.
You there?
I'm here.
Oh,
yeah, I'm
okay.
Here. Sorry about that.
It's not me, it's you.
Sorry about that. Yeah, it was me.
Okay, amen. What do you say, brother?
Amen. All right. Pastor Larry, of course, always my brother, I love the directions you come from. It's an honor just to hear the wisdom that comes from you. What I would love to add to that, though, is, you know, we as a people, we as men, the enemy consistently finds ways to deceive us from recognizing the truth. And one of the things that I learned and heard so much as a young Christian, and that drew me into wanting to be around like-minded people, was two or more gathered, he is in the midst. Where one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight. It was always about being with somebody else. It was always about battling and fighting along with somebody else, working in harmony to get past the issue. And I realized that, you know, what the enemy does to deceive us is to make us think that we're all alone, that nobody else is going through what we're going through. We look at someone else's situation and we see all of their blessings but none of their issues, and think that we're the only one facing issues. And then we're deceived to believe that God isn't moving on our behalf or God isn't looking at us the same. So then we separate ourselves rather than doing the one thing that would give us even more strength, is joining and becoming unified. A unified praise lifted to God is a praise that shifts atmospheres and changes things. Not that your praise by yourself or your prayers by yourself don't move and don't change things and don't, you know, create and don't call upon the presence of God. But when you're joined with another fellow like-minded brother, a like-minded sister, someone who got the same heart and praise and belief that God is going to move, it's just that much more powerful. But we've been deceived to feel like we're by ourselves. And some men, I hear so many men talking about, well, I don't need to go to church. I can just pray by myself. I can read the scripture. Well, who helps you with the interpretation? Who helps you when you get to a place that you don't understand? But walking in a harmony, walking in an understanding, in a like-minded understanding with someone who is diving into the word with you, who is studying alongside you, who is going through the trials and tribulations, but also has a testimony just as you do. It might not be the same. It might not be the same exact issue, but because when we walk unified, when we walk together, we can hold each other up. The word says iron sharpens iron. We're meant to be a countenance for one another. We're meant to call upon one another, to lean upon one another as we lean upon God for a greater understanding. You know, I think that we as men have been so convinced to be the loner, to be the macho man that doesn't need anybody, that because we feel like we don't need anybody, we don't look to unify and work with anybody. We want to do it by ourselves. And when we're doing it by ourselves, we're taking God out of the equation. We're taking the very power away from God, when he's called us to walk with like-minded people. He's called us to learn and to grow and to study. That's why that's the importance of the church, the importance of the body of Christ, the importance of the men's ministries and the women's ministries, to draw people together so that they can feed off of one another and grow together. You grow much faster, just like when you work out. When you have somebody to keep you motivated and keep you moving at the gym, you get a better workout. You get a better exercise routine. When you're jogging with somebody, you get, you know, your mind is on the things that you have in common. So you push past the pain. You push past the issue. When we stand unified, I'm honored to know you three brothers, because meeting you in the Man Up event has been a blessing to just know that I can call upon men that are thinking like I am, that may have issues, may be facing something, but as we are joined together, we are unified to stand strong and lean upon one another. And in that, we put the enemy in a place where he has to be the one to shudder and back away, because we're built stronger and made stronger because we can lean upon one another together, unified, leaning upon God. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. I agree, brother. And like I said, you know, we are Issue Christian Men Talk. We always constantly say that, you know, it's a time for men to come together in fellowship in a place where just there's men, and we can encourage each other. We can talk about the issues, the stress, the trials, the struggles that we're going through, and build those relationships. You know, we talked about a lot here, but who's in your circle? And I think that's what every man has to consider. Who's in your circle? Who you can, are you connected with, and who's going to support and keep you? You can answer me, sir. What do you say? We talk about unity in the body of Christ and the application of these verses, what God is calling us to do, to live in harmony, that we can glorify God. What do you say, sir?
Well, a couple things that I, you know, was thinking about when we were talking about unified and being of one mind. There's two things I was thinking about. One was, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay. Sometimes we got to be careful what we hear, and we have to make sure it's in the proper place when we hear it. So with all that, get understanding. And I think a lot of times we try to make scriptures fit our lifestyle instead of letting our lifestyle match up with scripture. So there's a self-denial piece that we have to bring into ministry in order for us to do the things that Christ would have us to do. If we have a mindset that my salvation is the only one that's important, then we can't stand next to our brother or pray with him in our secret place or even serve people of God, because we're only concerned about our own souls. So that's number one. The other thing is that we have to make sure that we are mindful of our time management, because the things that we spend the most time doing becomes our God or becomes our Lord. And then those things are constantly on our mind, okay? And what the word says is that God will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, or what you would say, fixated on him. With all the things that men have, especially men of God, we have a lot of distractions in our life that keeps our mind focused on the distractions, because we're fixers. We always want to fix what's going on. We're always trying to, meet those benchmarks and goals that we've set, our families set, our wives have set, our children set, goals that we've set for our children. And we get sidetracked mentally. Then when a brother says, hey, I need your help, I need your assistance, we don't have time to do it. So when it talks about harmony and being, you know, living in harmony of one mind, we got to understand that these people are our body parts. You know, there's many members, but one body. And if we treat our own body the same way we treat the brothers in Christ, it'll fall apart. But see, we nurture our own personal bodies because that's more important to us mentally. It's constantly on our mind. When I wake up tomorrow, I'm thinking about going to work. Why? To provide for my family, which is our first ministry. That's what we're supposed to do. But at no time do I sit back and say, and it's very rare that we do this, do I pray for the body of Christ? Is your life important and your struggles important to me just as much as they are to you? So we have to make sure that these relationships are not superficial and that they're real. We need to have a realness of what the God requires of us as men to stand for him. Because even the scripture says that I look for a man to stand. You know, who will stand for me is what the scripture says. So when you have men of God whose minds or whose everyday life is distracted, then the ministry can fall apart because we're not in the right position that we're supposed to be in. So it's always where we have to reach out to those people. We always have to reach out to our brothers and make sure that they are strong in the faith. And then discipleship also comes along with that piece. Pastor Larry Watkins was just saying, you know, people debate over certain scriptures, okay? And the foundation should be salvation. Because that's what we should go out to tell people to Jesus Christ. The gospel needs to be preached, okay, to all nations. And then Christ said, then I will come. So we have a great responsibility on our lives. And Christ has to be the first fruits to produce that united or harmonious, you could say, relationship between the men of God. If that is our foundation, okay, and that's the chief cornerstone, then why is it that we put other things on top of there that won't stand or actually will be blown off the foundation? It's not going to stand. Even though Christ can be our foundation, we can still grab sticks and straw to try to add to this foundation, and it'll just wither away. The foundation is strong, which is Christ, but the things that we're building upon on Christ is not actually strong enough to stand. So we have to make sure that Christ is first, okay? And that our family and the things that God would have us to do, even if it's just in positions of being members of the body. And I think that's another piece. A lot of times members have certain expectations on leaders, and then leaders have expectations on members. And we bring those things in based off of tainted traditions or expectations of what we think you should be in Christ by now, or what I think I should be doing in this ministry. And we bring those ideas into ministry, and then everything seems to crumble. Now we're at each other's throats because we had different expectations. But if we stick with what the word says that God requires of us, I think we'll be stronger, especially when we understand what the scripture is saying. Okay? These men, the apostles and the disciples, gave their life for the gospel's sake. And are we at that point? Is the question. Because if we are at that point, then we actually surrender everything, all of our being, to Christ. And Christ is the one that takes control over our lives. So, you know, mentally we have to make sure that we manage our time and we make time for ministry. And also we have to make sure we're careful of what we're hearing. Because even when we don't study the word sometime, and I know I ain't the only one that get beat up at work so bad, I come home, I get tired. Sometimes I may forget to pray. Sometimes I may, you know, put my Bible down and say, man, I can't get that deep tonight. And, you know, by me doing that and say, well, I can skip a day, that's the enemy. I need to actually commune with God daily, can't put those things on the back burner. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to operate in our life and be the true men of God that God is saying in the scriptures. What do you say about that?
Amen, brother. You gave us a lot there, man. But, you know, I agree. You know, there's so much there. But that's the point. As us as men of God, we have to, like you said, are we putting the things of God as a priority in our life and not on the back burner? And that's what, again, this is what the scripture is telling us in Romans 15 when I was reading it that I saw. Is this how we're living? Are we living the scripture? The word of God is given us. Paul has written this letter to the church. And do we reflect the word of God in our lives and in our ministries, in our local congregations? No matter where the church you attend, are you reflecting the word of God? And only way we can do that is by the study of the word, the understanding of the word. You know, Elder Mark touched on something about that long range of Christian thing. You know, we got to understand the body of Christ. We are part of a body because the body teaches us, I believe, the word of God. Being part of a church will teach you how, well, first of all, it'll measure where you are because you have to deal with a lot of different personalities because we all are different. And then that tests you on see where you at when it comes to the word of God because you're dealing with a lot of diverse and different personalities and people and the way people are. That's how we learn to apply the word. Can we apply the word to our brother? Again, when we're talking about Romans 15, can we bear the burdens of the weak? That means putting up with folk who ain't where you are and are struggling, and then putting up with folk who may be more mature, but their personality needs working. We need to prune some of their personality. And how do we get to that? Because, again, we're coming from different places, different experiences, but our common denominator, I use an old arithmetic word. Our common denominator is Jesus Christ and the gospel. And the spirit within us, and now how are we living out that thing at one to another? So all you brothers out there who don't think you need to be part of a church and you could study and you could pray and you don't need to be around people, that's not why Christ died. Christ died for the church. Amen? And we are his bride together. So that's the thing. Are we striving, men? Are you striving to build and consistently working to build the fellowship, to get past the superficial masquerade of being saved? I'm going to put it like that. Are we striving to get past that info and in ourselves? You know, the scripture we like to repeat a lot, are we showing ourselves friendly? But are we showing ourselves to be and develop a relationship one to another to build up each other? Are we doing that on purpose, or we just want to just show our good self, our good side, you know? And that's where we want to stay at, and we don't really want to know about what other people is doing because we don't have a passion and a love for them enough to care what they're going through. So all of that is part of being a man of God and being a Romans 15 man. Amen? You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m., and also we record at different times during the week. If you're interested in joining me and part of the discussion for the recorded sessions, give me a call. I can get the schedule, get you the time. You can come in and join the discussion panel. But we are live on Saturdays at 9 a.m. by calling in at 646-668-2636, or you can listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Amen. So, gentlemen, I'm coming back around. I'm going to come back to you, Elder Mark. And when we're talking about our unity, because the real purpose of our unity and the harmony between believers is to glorify God. Because we cannot, I'll say it like this, brothers. There's no way a divided church with isms and schisms and bickering and murmuring and complaining can now sit in a building, in a room, and say they're worshiping God. What do you say, Elder Mark? Because if we can't understand that on why we need to strive for the unity, because we're not truly worshiping God. I don't care what we're doing. I don't care if you got a 200-member choir and a full orchestra, or you just got a piano and five people. you're not worshiping God if there's all these issues going on amongst the congregation over, and like Ann, Pastor Larry, as you come back around, the minor things and issues that we deal with just being human and in our flesh. So we have to get to a level where we want to put aside our things, and we're striving to be a unified body in Christ. What do you say, Eldemar?
Amen. Well, I'm going to go to the scripture that you referenced, Romans 15, and specifically verse 6. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It says, verse 5, it speaks of how we should help having patience and God-given patience and encouragement. But it says to live in complete harmony with each other. But it says, then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 7, therefore accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given the glory. See, we're not supposed to examine our differences and say that this person isn't this, and I don't like the way you're doing this, and we're not doing this. But we're supposed to join together in a unified front to let one voice of praise. And when you say one voice, it's not a singular voice, but a harmonious voice, so that when we join together, everyone is in the same position of praise. Everyone is in the same hallelujah. Everyone is in the same glory to God. Everyone is in the same place that reverences God first, just like Deacon Anthony said, that we're in a place that we're doing what represents God, what represents God. We're doing what we're called to do. We're not living a life for ourselves, not living a life based on our situation. We're not living a life where we're backing away and trying to be by ourselves in a place where we're not stepping up to stand beside our brother. But unified, we're lifting one voice of praise, one voice of praise, one collective voice of praise that says, God, you are my God. No matter what our differences and our situations may be, no matter the test I'm facing, no matter the test you're facing, we all need to give praise to God in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our tribulations, because that is our response of faith. That is us responding to our situation in faith, not reacting. Reacting is where we just do the first thing that comes to thought. We just jump out and do something. But responding in faith means you gather. I can't think of the correct word. I'm sorry, but you take the time to just think about the situation and examine the situation and examine and see that in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the test, in the midst of the problem, God is still moving on your behalf. And leaning upon someone else, leaning and standing unified, can help you to do that. My struggle can help me see someone else going through an issue of, for me, it was, you know, the medical issues I went through. I believe, and even speaking to my wife, you know, questioning, why do we go through the things we go through? You go through the things you're going through because God made you strong enough to go through it, but he also made you to be an example for somebody else that you'll stand next to, that they can see God move, and they'll have a praise for God in the midst of their situation because they'll know and see evidence that someone else has already been brought through it by the grace of God. So when we stand together unified, we have one praise, and that's what God is calling for, one collective praise, not for us to be separated by the antics and to be separated by the different views of Scripture, or as Pastor Larry referenced, you know, we're looking at how this person should be baptized, sprinkle or submersion, or, you know, the different things that we're looking at and trying to separate from one another. But we should stand unified in the belief and the understanding of who God is, whose we are as we belong to God as his children, and have a unified front that gives a single voice of praise, one voice of praise. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. And again, gentlemen, we have to be in a place where it's the essential things of the faith. There's non-essentials in the gospel. There's non-essentials in a lot of, As the more we deep dive, there's essentials and non-essentials. And that's where I believe we go back to, you got to know what we believe and why we believe it. And let Scripture be the mediator, the proof of whatever the debate is or the discussion is about. What does the scripture say? And what does the scripture teach? And what is that principle? Pastor Watkins, what do you say when we're talking about the unity of the body and being able to get past the schisms that without unity, without harmony, we are not glorifying God on the earth because of the things that's going on. What do you say, sir?
I definitely agree with you that we are not glorifying God with the things that are going on because there's too much division, as I said before. But as my brothers are saying, and I appreciate all of you brothers, Elder Mark, Elder Deacon Anthony, one of the things, the word I wanted to bring into the conversation was consistency. what I was thinking about the branches of service in the United States. When you look at the Army, you see consistency. You see them all wearing the same thing, all walking the same way, dressing the same way, talking the same way, and spouting the same rhetoric or ideology. You don't see any break in that. And because of that, they have unity, and because of that, they move as one body. They move as one unit to achieve an objective. The problem with Christianity or with the church today is that there is no consistency. You can go to one church and hear one thing and go to another church and hear another. And the problem is that because of that inconsistency, we end up with men, brothers, and believers that are frustrated with the inconsistency, are frustrated because they can't get a common focus from church to church to church, are frustrated because you get people caught up in the little isms and schisms that go along in church, and it causes them to have a bad taste in their mouth because of Christianity. They don't hear us speaking with the same voice. They don't hear that unity that Elder Mark was talking about, that harmony that Elder Mark was talking about. They don't hear that consistency throughout Christianity of us all saying the same thing. They hear the division of whether to celebrate the Sabbath on Sunday or on Saturday. Well, to me, it really doesn't matter. What matters is that you celebrate a Sabbath. Does it matter that Christmas happened in December, or does it happen in April when Jesus was actually really supposed to be born? It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that we celebrate his birth. And these are the things that should be, like I said before, should be common ground unto us, that we should have this mind. This is the voice that we should be speaking with, that number one, God is love, and this is the common ground that we should all come together on. This is the consistency. When brothers come together to fellowship, and I like that word fellowship because it means it's a bunch of fellows in the ship, and if we're all in the ship, we should be working for the same goal, and that's to get from one side of this body of water to the other side where our destination is safely. And to do that, we have to have the same consistent theme of, okay, we're going to the other side. Jesus said when he got to the disciples, he said, let us go over to the other side. And they all agreed that they were going to go over to the other side. Now, things arose in there that made them get upset because the storm rose up. And they didn't believe in the prophecy that Jesus was giving them. He gave them a word of prophecy in saying, let us go over to the other side, meaning that we were going to make it to the other side. They allowed the storm to confuse them, and they began to separate, and their faith failed, and the message was lost. We have to maintain the same message all the time, whether we're going through or whether we're in good times. We have to be believing in the same word, in the same prophecy, in the same promises, in the same scriptures. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. This is the mind that we have to have to come together so that there's consistency across the body of Christ, that when we praise God, we are praising him with one voice, with one harmonious thing, and that we're all saying the same thing. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. When you see him, you see me. There was harmony. There was harmony there. There was consistency there. He said, whatever God says, that's what I'm saying. And there was consistency there. These are the things that we need to do as Christians, as brothers, is to maintain that consistency so that when we speak, we're speaking with one voice. If they go to Deacon Farr, they hear the same one thing. If they come to me, they hear the same thing. If they go to Elder Mark, they hear the same thing. If they go to Deacon Anthony, they hear the same thing, and not a bunch of semantics in between there, but they hear the common ground that Jesus saves, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and that he rose again, and that Jesus saves so that we might all have everlasting life, that Jesus has the ability to help us to deal with the problems of life. These are the things that we should be saying consistently instead of trying to spout our own ideology, our own dogma, and our own theology. The thing that we need here is consistency, to have that like mind, that harmony. What do you say, sir?
Amen, sir. And I think that's the trick of the enemy. Because what did the enemy do in Genesis? He took the word of God and twisted it slightly. And what's the thing they always say, you know, a lie covered with the skin of the truth will deceive folks. But amen. I'm coming to you next week, Anthony. But brothers, I just want to give you some scriptures for you to meditate on so that you can deep dive and meditate on his word as what we're talking about here is the harmony, unity, and the brotherhood of the body of Christ. Because that's the only way we're going to have strong churches. I want to give you 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. I want to give you 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. I want to give you Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. And I'm going to give you Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. And the last one is going to be 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. And I encourage you, take those chapters. If you don't have something to write it down with, listen to the rebroadcast, because it's out there. And meditate on those scriptures as we're talking about unity and the importance of brotherhood, that we might, as a body of Christ, men, women, children, families, that we are in unity. And that's the most important thing, because we cannot praise our God and say we're living for Christ when we're not in unity. We're not really glorifying him in what he called us to do. Deacon Anthony, what do you say, sir?
Amen. You know, when we're talking about, you know, the unity and in Christ, especially when it comes to the word. The one thing is we need to not just understand our role to each other, but we also have to understand what the scripture is telling us. And you know, you can never know what the mission is if you never read the scripture on what the Great Commission was, you know. And that's what the body of Christ should be doing, okay? And we are supposed to support each other. One of the things that we need to do collectively is always approach the stranger, especially in men, because that's a delicate situation. You just don't know what that brother has come going through, who is visiting the congregation or coming to the Man Up events or going to, you know, different church events and still leave empty. We've gotten complacent to, I guess you could say, minister to each other or debate certain scriptures, or, you know, we just basically got comfortable doing those things because those things are more meaningful in our lives. We put more into people's baskets that's already full, okay? And nobody really gets to see the true man of God operate except in the church, okay? Which is why outreach is so important and evangelism is so important. So us being in those roles, it's like, can Christ act, can somebody look at us and see that we model our life different from what they do? And are we being the light in those situations? It's a scary thing, and I don't know, right? And I won't know until, you know, we go to be with Christ, Lord's will, right? But one of my questions was, how many times in my life did I cause somebody to stumble because I wasn't walking right and claiming to be in Christ? You know, that always actually struck me because, you know, was it anybody in our lives to pull us to that accountability from what the word says? And, you know, like Pastor Larry Watkins, Elder Mark was saying, you know, we want to be unified and get the same information from each other. But because that accountability, I've actually said something that was in the word. And now me and my brother are at a heads or bumping heads based on scripture. And it's pulling that person to accountability to make sure that if we're on the same battlefield, that we fight in the same fight. We shouldn't be fighting with each other. We should actually be fighting the same fight for salvation. So when another brother, or like Elder Mark said, iron sharpened iron, a friend to a friend, you know, a lot of times people leave ministries because they've been hurt by a person trying to pull them to accountability. And the saddest thing is those are men that are being uprooted from congregations because of what somebody else said. And then, you know, pride set in a lot of different individuals. So those individuals also may think, well, I should be the pastor, or I should be, you know, a minister, or I should be a speaker, or I should be of somebody of authority. And then when that sets in, it causes a whole lot of cancers that spills over into congregations. And so, you know, when we study the word, it's for God to prune those things that are in us so that we can be in line with his word and go out and live this word through obedience to him. But if people to see us being disobedient, what kind of questions do they rise as far as, you know, looking at Christian men having the same, you know, desires and the same fulfillments out in the world that the world is doing? Like, you know, I remember teaching about giving, right? And how when we get our paychecks, we're so quick to give to the things of the world instead of giving to the body. And so, you know, it's a scary thing because it's like, well, what is so desirable for us out in the world, okay, than the gospel of Jesus Christ? And, you know, it puzzled me a little bit. And actually, you know, God has been actually working on, you know, not just my heart, but even my family's, to be mindful of the person next to you. You know, we may have an abundance, but that is for somebody else who may be in need. You just never know. And we just pray for discernment because God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Do we stand on that word? Do we believe that? And if we do, then our activities and our obedience to that word that we've heard is going to show other people that we're not worried. We're walking by faith and not by sight. I'm depending on Christ to give me the strength to work to provide for my family. We have to make sure that we are not out of order or not walking in error to the things of Christ. And I believe that when we do that as men of God, people will begin to see a difference in how we operate on our jobs or in our community or in our family, you know, because family can be your biggest critics sometimes, and they can be your biggest enemies because of who we choose to serve. And when we go to family events, et cetera, we're like, look, we're not into no foolishness. And like, y'all always these holy rollies, et cetera, but see, when we say no and we deny those things, okay, it's because we don't want to be indulged in those things, and then all it takes is just one bad decision for a ripple effect. I mean, they'll need a lot of room to actually try to ruin marriages or ruin, you know, where you are as far as, you know, where Christ has brought you from to overcome those things that are tempted to you. So he doesn't need a lot to work with. So the thing is that we need to continue to be consistent with Christ. We need to continue to be the people that God allows us to be in those places where people can look on us and say, man, they are really different. He speaks different. He talks to me different. I see him pray over his food aloud. And it's just, you know, in this world, you know, you got so many things that we may come against us because we are in Christ, like the LGBTQ and different people who claim to be, you know, believers that are walking in error with the world and, you know, this acceptance or this word that they use loosely, which is love, and it's the love of compromise that's out there. But as soon as you stand for what God says, okay, now you're alone in the room, okay? So we have to make sure, okay, that we are spiritually sound, okay? And we're going to stand on God's word. And we stand on God's word not because of, you know, what we think is going to happen, but the evidence of what God has done in our lives for standing on his word, okay? We have to be totally dependent on Christ and let Christ start to minister through us to other people, and then the body, okay, the men of God, can stand, okay, and not be wavered with different things in our lives that take us off our kilter when it comes to the things of Christ. What do you say about that?
Amen, sir, and you're absolutely correct. And gentlemen, I believe, you know, it all starts with the word. I was reading an article recently about biblical illiteracy in the body, in confessed believers in the body, that folk are not in their word, so that's the biggest thing, that why people are deceived, why people are wherever they are, because they don't spend time in the word to know the word and know what the standard is and what the purpose and the call is. You mentioned the Great Commission. You know, do we understand what the Great Commission is? And the mission and vision of our ministries, do they line up with the Great Commission? All this other stuff that, like, I mean, everyone, all you brothers said the same thing. I call it icing. That's covering up the cake. There's all the stuff that doesn't mean anything, but we say we do all these extra things that's diluting the gospel. You know, so we have to be in a place where we're focused on the Great Commission, the gospel, and for the leadership, what is the mission and the vision of the ministry, and do all the people in our local ministry, because this all starts, well, let me back it up. It all starts in our homes. As husbands and fathers, what's the mission and the vision for your family? Is it about your kids you want all your kids to get a college degree? Or do you want all your children to understand who Jesus Christ is and how God's going to use them individually, right where they're in their personalities, in all the things they're going to achieve in their life, but is God their foundation? Are they spiritually rooted and grounded and sound? Because we all hear stories about, you know, our kids, once they get out the house, go to college or whatever, everybody has a story of, oh, I was with God when I was a child. I went with my grandparents, but then when I got out in the world, I backslid. And, okay, right, everybody tells that story. But as husbands and fathers, what are we doing that they don't backslide? They don't got to be, you know, I had this conversation with my children, even, you know, my grandchildren, they're getting older now. Your salvation and your faith is not going to look like mine. And you're not living up to me. God's going to use you in your way, but you have to have the foundation of the truth of the gospel and know how to read the word for yourself. That you're 10, 15, 16, 20, 25, 30, if you understand the gospel, then God's going to use you. But, and like I said, you know, it starts with the family. What's the mission and vision of our families? What's the mission and the vision of our churches? And is it lined up with scripture? And then we can go out and achieve a lot of other things in this temporal realm, which is fine. But are we rooted and grounded in his word? And are we seeking to grow in his word? Because sometimes we, like I think it was Deacon Anthony, we put stuff on the back burner because we want to achieve this other stuff, and we put our salvation or our spirituality and our spiritual growth on the back burner. So we have to, as men, brothers, we have to examine ourselves, and then we have to see what example are we really setting? Are we setting an example of a unified body of Christ? As a unified group of believers. And then again, it starts in your house and it starts in your local congregation, because that's how this thing is. It has to start where you living at, because you can't stand back and look at other people and say, oh, look, they ain't this and they ain't that, but who are you? And what is your church doing? Are you supporting your pastor and your ministry and the vision of that local congregation, that you're giving, that you are prioritizing the things of God when the call is put out for a lot of different things, giving opportunity to serve? I mean, okay, I'm going to take a breath because I'll go and I don't want to go by myself. But, amen. This is Issue Christian Men's Talk. Again, brothers, I appreciate y'all for coming on here. I'm mindful of the time, and I'm mindful for the brothers that are listening. But again, to encourage you in the unity and the brotherhood of being of one mind, of one voice, of one heart, that we're unified in the thing of God that draws us together, unifies us. Brothers, I'm going to come around the table, and now everyone, you can share your closing comments. Deacon Anthony, I'm gonna put you on the end, and you can close out in prayer. And I'm gonna start with Elder Mark. Again, this is Vinicius Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Barr. We are live on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Oh, wait, before we go, I want to share. I'm gonna continue to press this. We have a summer Bible reading list. We have a couple books on there. I mentioned already before, reference material: a Vines Bible Dictionary, a Strong's Accordance. Every brother should have one on your desk, your bookshelf, in your car trunk somewhere as reference material to help you to study. We talked about study Bibles. Reach out to your pastors, your elders. There's a lot of study Bibles out there, and that you can use that will also give you the theological foundation and understanding. But again, the summer reading list is the first one is going to be A Man's Guide to Spiritual Disciplines. That's by Patrick Morley. Patrick Morley, M-O-R-L-E-Y. The next book is The Gospel According to Jesus by John MacArthur. Also, we recommended the Westminster Catechism. I talked about the catechism before, but, you know, search it out and read it. You'll see that it gives you a lot of wealth of knowledge and understanding and repetition. Because I'll say this, the Westminster Catechism, if you ever look it up and read it, realize that's what they use to teach children. So it was memory and repentance and understanding of the principles and theology of the Christian faith. And it was used to teach children. So when you look at it, realize this is what how they taught their children in youth ministry, not some of the stuff we do now, but amen. The next book is The Gospel of Jesus Christ by Paul Washer. That's a brother I shared before that I heard some of his sermons, but he wrote a book about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in my reading of it, he expanded it more to for a deeper dive. I call it a deeper dive into the gospel. Because remember, the gospel is the message we ought to be taking to the world. Amen. And last one is going to be Building an Effective Prayer Life, and that's by Pastor Anthony Palmer. He's on the list. He's a local pastor in fellowship. He wrote this book, and I read it and looked at it. And it talks about effective prayer life and our prayer life and growing in prayer life. Amen? Amen. Again, brothers, this has been Issue Christian. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here live every Saturday morning. I encourage you to go to the Issues Christian Minister on Facebook page. There's a lot of men's groups, men's conferences, men's Bible studies going on for the summer. Things kicking off. In-person stuff is going on. A lot of past churches and pastors are putting together some things to minister directly to men. And I'm going to say this. Anything that you will see on the Facebook page, trust me, it's not a pancake breakfast. It's going to be interactive. It's going to be engaging. It's going to be opportunity for you to network and connect with other men of God in a place where we're talking about real things and real issues and real circumstances. It's not going to be what I used to call a pancake breakfast. For me, pancake breakfast got a bad reputation, so I don't even go to them. If they put pancake in the name, I'm not going. Amen? Amen. Amen. Elder Mark, we're going to start with you, then Pastor Larry, and then Deacon Anthony, close out prayer, brothers. I appreciate y'all for joining me, sharing your wisdom, your insight. And God bless you, gentlemen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Farr, for the invite as always. My brothers, Deacon Anthony, Pastor Larry, Always a wonderful opportunity to share with you, to build with you, so I appreciate you. To the men listening, it's about unity. It's about a move harmoniously to give God the praise that he deserves. We're all facing situations. We're all facing problems. But we have to recognize we have more in common than we do different. And if we realize that, we can stand in a unified place to support one another, to truly be the iron that sharpens iron, to be the men that we can lean upon and call upon in our time of need. All of us are facing a battle. All of us are going into war each and every day. But just like Pastor Larry said, the army is unified. They come in one front, and they need to be the same. No man wants to go into war by himself. So find a body. Find like-minded Christian men that you can lean upon, that you can pray with, that will encourage you, that will continue to uplift you, that will continue to be there to represent who God is, to just lead you and guide you and stand with you. Standing with you, standing unified, you give God the praise that he deserves. And each and every day you go a little bit stronger because you've got someone else that you can call upon in your time of weakness. Back to you, gentlemen.
Pastor Watkins?
The Bible says in Psalm 133, verse 1, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." How good and how pleasant when we can come together on common ground and be unified in the things that we hear and unified in the things that we say. It is important for us to fellowship as men, but it's also important us to understand, as we've all said before, that we have more in common than we do that is different. If we are unified, then we are all working together to get the same thing. And the scripture tells us that when we come together, we're coming together in patience, in comfort, and in hope. Patience meaning bearing one another's burdens, being there to work with each other to deal with our issues. Comfort to help each other to work through the things that we're going through in our lives, to work through the hurts, the pains, the challenges, the struggles that we're going through in our lives, and then hope in encouraging each other that we can make it, we can do this thing, you can become what God says you can, what God says you are, and these are the things that happen when we come together in unity, being like-minded, like in fellowship, like in the Word of God, and understanding that there is common ground that we can come together on as a foundation and believe that Jesus is and that he is the one that rewards them that diligently seek him. We can come together as one. Thank you for the opportunity. To my brothers, Deacon Anthony and Elder, I appreciate all of you, both of you. I appreciate all of you and the wisdom that you have. And I pray God's blessing upon you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for this opportunity as well. I thank God for each and every single man who's listening. Always a blessing to be able to not just hear the word, but to share and witness to the men of God as well. Elder Mark and Pastor Larry Watkins, Deacon Farr, I thank you for inviting me and embracing me. Thank you for your prayers and for my family, and we continue to lift each other up in prayer. The good thing is tonight, the scriptures that went out, they're good for, you know, not only for edification, but for our learning, as we learned in the scripture tonight in Romans chapter 15, to be with peace and actually walk in confidence, knowing that your brother that's next to you that is in Christ is praying with you and is on the battlefield next to you. We just want to make sure that we're mindful that whatever our brother is doing beside us, we pray for him and we hold him to accountability, but it doesn't get us distracted and get us off track to indulge in the things that they may be struggling with. So, let us stay strong in Christ. and growing the faith and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With that said, I'll be closing out in prayer. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for hearing and answering prayer, Lord. Father, you said in your word, this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything that is according to your will, that you will do it. So we thank you, Father, for hearing and answering our prayers, Father. We are going to pray your word back to you, Father. Not just pray it back to you, Father, but help us also to be doers of your word. Let us not live in vain, Father, and put a shame to the gospel of Jesus Christ, Father. We thank you for your bloodshed. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Father, to share with the men and encourage the men, Father. Father, you build the men that you want for your body, Lord God. And we will actually give your name the most highest praise, Lord God, because you chose us, Father, out of dark situations. Father, forgive us for the things that we take for granted, Father. We know that you are the keeper. We thank you for our hedge of protection around our families, Father. We thank you, Father, for the body of Christ. Father, you be glorified at this time, Father. It's such a time as this, Father, when the world wants to go one way, Father, but you do have men who are willing to stand. So use us, Father, to your glory, Father. The word says that we are living epistles read and seen among men. You use us. You build us, Lord God. And we give your name the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It's in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, brothers. Be in peace.
God bless you.